Welcome in. College football week four. Going to be awesome because college football always delivers. I'm David Pollack, Brent Rollins, my neighbor, writer for PFF, knows things all about college football. We're going to talk about college football every week. That's all we're going to do. We're going to nerd out because we love the game so much. You know, Bama and Georgia are next week, obviously, is the big headliner. But this week, Brent, I think you kick it off. I don't know. You tell me. Where would you want to kick it off? Because I think
it's Friday night again. I mean, we got another Friday night game where we got Illinois, the Fighting Illini, at Nebraska. I saw you do a little stuff earlier in the week with former Nebraska Cornhusker Adam Carriker. But so what do you think? Are they rolling to the mojo? I think you may have made a prediction about them in that podcast.
Well, I mean, when I look at Nebraska, everything is doing this, right? Like everything's building. And when you get your quarterback that makes everybody better. And listen, I got to spend a lot of time with Dylan Raiola. Like I hosted him several times when he came to Georgia. Like his family is so top notch, so good, so loving. And you could just tell they were grounded. And when I say that, the family's grounded and the kids are grounded. The kids didn't do anything to get grounded. I'm saying like they were just so easygoing. Like, you know, I knew Dylan was going to be a great player. And I didn't know anything about his tape. I didn't see it. But I knew that he had the stuff inside right here as a quarterback. And so you've seen the way that program is elevated. We've talked about Matt Rhule, man. But here's the thing. He's an elite coach. Matt Rhule's great. Brent Bielema's good. And Brent Bielema always has physical, tough teams. And that's what I'm interested to see from Nebraska. Nebraska, they've done a good job with the portal, leading rusher from Oregon, leading receiver from Texas. Like, they've supplemented so well. I think it's going to be easier to build around Dylan in the future. But I'm interested about the offensive line, the physicality, the Big Ten now. You get into conference play, it gets harder. They are at home, and the black shirts and the fans, by the way, are just – freaking fantastic. 400 straight sellout home or something like that. I mean, just 400 consecutive sellout, Brent. Like, that's insane. Like, back to 1962. So they support their club. It'll be a awesome atmosphere. I like Nebraska, but Brett Bielem and company will be physical, and they'll hit them in the mouth.
Well, one thing about what's interesting you talk about Raiola is outside of him, this is a game for adults. This is – you look up and down the depth chart, it's – red shirt, senior, transfer. It's senior. Like, just this is a very much an adult college football game. So, but you know, the interesting thing you talk with Raiola and just his personality and who he is, and obviously he's had a lot of success early. But one of the things I think that maybe hasn't been talked about enough that has led to some of that success is moving to Georgia and playing high school football for Buford, 7A, like the schedule that he went through. And it wasn't like he played with other five-star players,
yep.
KJ Bolden, other top 250 players, Edric Houston that's at Ohio State. Like, but they lost in the quarterfinals of the Georgia high school playoffs.
Don't forget who his dad is either.
But
it's nice having a guy that his mentors, he can literally call up all the guys. His dad played in the NFL for 10 plus years, was a great center for the Lions. Like, he's got so many advantages and people he can pick their brain. And I think that's why he's had a great start. But I'm interested too, because this is not the Illinois teams you've seen in the past. Like, if you think they're going to line up and pound the football, like, this is the opposite of that for Illinois. They've gotten to the rankings. They beat Kansas. They've done what they've needed to do to stay undefeated. But Luke Altmaier's been really good at the quarterback spot. Like, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Illinois is a passing team. Like,
Pat Bryant.
Just think about that. We are not accustomed to saying that, but more importantly, defensively, Brent, is where I think they can give them a challenge. Because the only thing I look at Nebraska and I go down the road, can they beat man coverage consistently? Can they protect Dylan? Now, they move the pocket. They do all kinds of great stuff. And I just think Nebraska is going to be too much for them, but I don't think it's going to be a runaway 28-0 like it was over Colorado like that. No. I think it's a 27-13 type game, 27-17, where it's a good ball game and another test for Nebraska and the big polar bear up front at defensive tackle. And I think they'll be ready for it and physically. And I think defensively is where they'll make a lot of hay and they'll make it really hard for Illinois.
27-17. I literally wrote that down right beside that in terms of that game. So I guess great months do think alike. So moving to the Saturday slate, we have a matchup that has only happened twice, at least in the Big House, and not since, I think I looked, 1958, maybe. USC is going to
Michigan. You would know that since 1958. Yeah, okay.
Well, actually, I was curious and looked it up. USC actually has some really good game notes, by the way, and all sorts of unique notes about
what was the most obscure thing you saw from the USC game notes? Give me something
people that have transferred to their team but yet still played with each other in high school. Like just
okay.
You know, some IMG guys, things like that, but started their careers elsewhere, now are at USC. But anyway, USC at Michigan, Alex Orji starting QB now for Michigan. Can they find an identity? Can they have some success and sort of turn things around a little bit?
I think I'm going to disagree with you and the world on this one. Here's what I think about this. I think USC's better. I think USC's a more complete team. But to me, there's just something about a Michigan program when you got a bunch of guys who's won a natty, who's been to college football playoffs the last 2 years before that. And there's something about a culture that when you talk down on them and you beat down on them, I think you're going to see the best version of them. Like Michigan's margins aren't near as big as they used to be. Like they used to could play great defense. You know, they were going to play great offense. You know, they could throw the football too, obviously. And they were dynamic enough to score if they got down a couple touchdowns. Like, this has to follow the script. Like you can't get down points. You can't be chasing points because you can't throw the football very well. But here's a couple things that in Michigan, I think they're going to be mad. They're at home. And I love USC's QB. I love their wide receivers. I love their skill. I love Lincoln Riley as a play caller. I'm really going to find out about their defense. Like we said against LSU, LSU is not a physical challenge. Like if you watch the South Carolina game, LSU didn't run up and down on them. Like, I don't think LSU's offensive line, they're built on passing the football consistently, and I think they're going to do that. Now USC gets a chance. Let me tell you something. This is going to show me a lot about USC. Like, their defensive line, that's not very big, but a whole new defensive coordinator, defensive system. It's what we've seen from them that's been broken throughout these years. They've had offense with Caleb Williams, and they've won Heisman Trophy, and they've scored over 40 points a game, but the defense has struggled. I'm interested to watch them against Michigan and a team now that makes the switch at quarterback, Brent, with Alex Orji, that's all they're going to do is run. Like they've basically said, this is going to be who we are. We have to win with this formula of pounding the football, running with the QB, running with two backs, not turn the football over,
there you
win
go.
The game That's clock, the and play great defense.
Because you look at the three games for Michigan, Warren, one interception in the first game, two in the second game, three in the third. Like he's progressively getting worse at turning the football over. Give the defense a chance to do its thing. And if Orji comes in and just run, you know, the running game, like you said, and distributes the ball, USC, I looked at their two deep and just all the snaps that are looking in their two deep. There's like three or four guys, maybe four, that have been at USC the entire time. It's a whole host of guys who eventually either last year transferring or the year before. So,
and listen, USC showed me something week one. Like that was a great week one. That was a great win. And I think USC can show us something down the stretch. And if you're going to ask me who the better team is, I think USC is the better team. It's the more complete team. But that's not the way college football works. Michigan at home. And I'm going to give you one name, by the way, that's going to be the best. Like Donovan Edwards is a good running back. Mullins. If you look at number 20, toting the rock for Michigan, he's better, okay? He needs to be the feature running back. He's big. He's strong. Every time he touches it, he breaks a tackle. He makes something happen. Like, you watch number 20 in the backfield for Michigan. He's going to have a big say in the outcome of this football game if they can win. Edwards can make plays. He's dynamic. But this guy consistently needs to feed the rock. I think both those guys get 15-plus carries. Alex Orji gets 10-plus carries. Michigan is on their roots. They're at home. And somehow, some way, they find a way to make this ugly, and Michigan wins the football game.
First team to 20, maybe. So speaking of a game that doesn't happen very often, Utah at Oklahoma State basically have never played. Like it's 79, 80 years or something like that, and the teams are named different things. But you get the battle of the Medicare quarterbacks, I guess. I don't know. In terms of
that's solid. I like that. Two quarterback, both 24, right?
Because it looks like Cam Rising is going to play. I think 25. I think Bowman's 25, maybe. So I think 49 is the number that I saw in terms 40, of combined.
Hey, I'm a man. I'm 40. You remember that rant from Gundy? And now he's
by the way, almost 60 now. So that's amazing how long ago that was.
The interesting thing to me about Oklahoma State, and Brent, I really want to love their offense. with all the seniors on the offensive line, and all like their average age is like 24 years old. Like all of them are fifth year guys at least. So they have a ton of experience. And you thought Ollie Gordon, who was the Doak Walker winner a year ago, he was the best running back in the country. You figured this team would go as he went. They can't run the football. And it's very strange to watch Ollie Gordon. And I'm telling you, when you come to draft time and you start to watch him and you see Brent, when he's 215 pounds, every run he finishes is with a spin. And he doesn't finish with his pads falling forward. And it really bothers me. Like, I want to see him finish runs physical and make it second and seven instead of second and 10. Now, Bowman, dude, last week, four touchdowns in the first half against Tulsa, spreads the ball around. He throws moon balls, by the way. He throws big pop-ups that come down. But Gundy designs offense exceptionally well. Morgan Scally, the defensive coordinator for Utah, I've always been a fan. Like, this dude is an absolute star. Like, they're going to come after you. If it gets third and long, by the way, or fourth down in a big situation, you can just tell. I'm just telling you, cover zero is coming. Like, they are aggressive. And when I watched Utah get down to Utah State last week, they got down 14-3 pretty quickly, responded well. If you're going to tell me Cam Rising's playing, like, that's the biggest difference maker, because you got a guy with experience as opposed to a freshman going on the road into Stillwater, which is a tough atmosphere to play in. But this one's a big deal for Utah. We'll talk about Utah later on in this show, but huge game for Utah. I will lean towards Utah, and I think their defense, I trust them a little bit more. And I think they'll might have a little bit more balance with 13 tight ends that they throw to on offense, but I'll take the Utes.
Running the ball well, Bernard. And I was going to ask you, have you ever been inside that stadium for a game? Because that just seems like, well, the closeness of the stands to the field, and if you've not been in that atmosphere, it to me would be very unique for that road team that's never maybe played in that type of atmosphere where they're living.
Unless you've got a 40-year-old quarterback that has seen every atmosphere and played in a Rose Bowl and played great. Like, that's where I think Cam Rising seems to be trending towards playing. And if that's the case, you don't worry about him in that atmosphere.
Yeah. All right. So, nightcap, big game, Tennessee, Heupel at Oklahoma, who, again, there's some extra attention in this game as there was last week in South Carolina, that they haven't been there in a long, long time. So, it's a little bit of show me game and highlight game for both of these programs.
I want to know
who's trending who.
Yes or no? Do you think this game is super competitive?
My instant thought is no.
Okay. I think the world's going to say that too. And I think it's one of those situations. Listen, OU, I watch them and I watch their offensive line and I'm like, this is a mismatch. Like, the defensive line of Tennessee versus the O-line of Oklahoma is just it's not a fair fight, okay? But I got Jackson Arnold at the quarterback spot who can run. So that can mitigate some of that stuff. Brent Venables is an absolute star. Here's my thing. I look at this game, and I see the deficiencies of Oklahoma's offense, but I still see the deficiencies of Tennessee's secondary. Or not deficient. Yep. Actually, not deficiencies.
Youth.
I want to see someone challenge them in the back end. And Oklahoma's banged up on the O-line. They're banged up at receiver. I don't think they're all of a sudden going to get, you know, super healthy and back. But they are at home. They have some momentum. And if I flip to the other side, Brent Venables, the other Brent, is a stud. And he has seen elite quarterback after elite quarterback after elite quarterback. And he finds a way to somehow slow them down. And so I have to believe that he's not going to let Nico beat him. And I have to believe he's going to have a good game plan. And if they can just muck it up and they can make it ugly and you can continue this game into the fourth quarter, the pass rush for Oklahoma is good now. Like, I watched 32 coming off the edge the other day. He had three sacks and that sucker was slapping hands. And as Mason, he looked good. I mean, and OU's got a physical defense and they can get after the quarterback. So I think you got to make this a confuse Nico game, a keep him down game, a keep it ugly game, and a little bit like Michigan. I don't think OU with their offense still gelling and finding themselves, I don't think they're going to outscore Tennessee. But NC State had it close to the half. Can you keep it close? Yeah. You know, use the home field advantage. Jackson Arnold, elite playmaking at the quarterback spot with his feet. Like, he ripped off a 50-yard run against Tulane. Like, he's been making plays throughout this season running the football. Can you possess the football and keep him away a little bit and stay in the game till late?
both quarterbacks have been bad under pressure. Which one gets pressured and which one handles it and or doesn't handle it, I think ultimately decides that. But this is one where the tempo, it's always – the tempo always fears that you can – it can get away from you if you let it get to you. But like you said, physicality, I think Oklahoma brings it.
You know what's interesting about tempo, Brent? I'm always going to say this. The hardest thing to do in college football is to play on the road. It's by far the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what tempo does, man? It makes it obsolete. Because they go so fast up to the football. Like, you don't get to celebrate, get the fans all jacked up. Like, it's play. It's next play. It's next play. They kind of get a little bit – it's not the same atmosphere. Like, they definitely need to find a way to impose their will on the game and get loud. But these tempo teams that go so fast, a lot of times you got to yell the whole time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't – so it is a little bit different. I think Tennessee – shut some of that down by how fast they go and quickly they make the defense communicate.
All right. So what's interesting about this week is there's a lot of other good football games. So I'm going to run through five games of the, to me, sneaky good games, maybe even some semi upset alert, and tell me which one that jumps out at you. So we got Miami at USF, Kansas State at BYU, Big 12 after dark, Georgia Tech at Louisville, Bowling Green, who gave Penn State all they wanted, at A&M, and then a fun game, I think, more so than anything, that can anything can happen, and anything usually does happen, Arkansas at Auburn.
Arkansas and Auburn are always good. Kansas State and BYU. BYU always, physical, and Kansas State wants to be physical, so that will be fun. Give me Louisville. Does anybody know? Is this thing on? Does anybody know that Louisville's in the top 20? Like, hey.
19th right now.
Nothing to look at here. Nothing to see. Like, Louisville's just kind of in there. Brohm is one of the best play callers in all of college football, period. Like, he dials up trick plays at the right time. Tyler Shuck, his quarterback, he's another one of those guys that's been around forever. He can spin it. He can throw it. Defensively, they've got some pieces. I'm interested to watch them, man. I think I want to know what Louisville's about. I want to see if they're a team that – if they're a team that's good. First of all, Georgia Tech's good, okay? Just because they
can move the ball on anybody, I think.
100%. And when I watched Louisville play Jacksonville State, and yes, I watched Jack State versus Louisville because I'm a nerd and I'm a loser and I have nothing else to do. QB run game was good. Design QB run game gave them fits. What do you think King can do? Like, that's exactly what he can do. So I'm interested to see Louisville primetime game against what did you say earlier? Their third game?
It's the third game, and two of which obviously are the two games were not against the greatest of competition. And this is game five. Like Georgia Tech,
you continue to learn who your team is the more games you get to play, and you know who you can depend on. So big game for Louisville this week. Interested to see what they look like against Georgia Tech, who I think is really, really good. Can they get enough stops? Can they be explosive? Are they a top 20 team? I think we're going to find out this weekend.
I will thoroughly be enjoying the YouTube TV 4 box there with USC, Michigan, Utah game, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Arkansas, and Auburn. That will be the 4 box at 3:30. Hey, Dabo even said he watched YouTube TV and figured out.
He didn't really know how to do it, but he had somebody figure it out for him. Yeah.
All right. So last but not least, we're going to get into some conversation about
this is going to be fun. I haven't heard anybody do this in college football yet. So I think this is going to be really, really good.
I won't take credit for the idea, but I will. So which top 10 team do you think most confident is going to go undefeated in the regular season?
See, I love this.
Conference championship games, by the way, you never – like, you might play some – there's most of these are going to be rematches.
Okay. So I love this topic because I think everybody immediately, all the fans across college football are going to go, okay, who are those teams that don't play a great schedule? But I don't think they know who plays who. So that's why I think it's important to break this down. Like, number one is Texas, okay? So you're telling me – you tell me if you want to put Texas on the top of this list. Texas plays OU the next week after OU. We know they're better than OU. The next week after the OU game, which means a heck of a lot. You know who they play?
That would be Georgia.
That would be Georgia. So just the timing of that, to me, is really, really good. Like, that's a good timing for Georgia. That's good timing playing after a big rivalry game when you know OU's dominated this series 7 out of the last 10. That doesn't set up well. The great thing is it's at home. It's at home, so that's a great deal. They finish at A&M, which is another tough place to play. A&M's offense obviously has to continue to show us stuff. Yeah. That's Texas's. So
So number two, you going to go through them all, or you want to go yes, no right now?
Okay, I'll go no for Texas.
Okay, I'm going to write it down just to keep track of this. So no.
What about you?
I would also say no. And the biggest thing, the point you made, the OU game matters a big deal. And
huge deal.
You know, if Georgia is able to take care of Alabama, which that's obviously still up in the air, we'll see that next week. But if that happens and Georgia's base and they're 1-2 before Texas plays OU, and you know, the look ahead, all the and the talk and the conversation, OU becomes trap game extraordinaire.
And they would love that. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and give you my team. So you got okay. Texas, who's 1, you got Georgia, who's 2. I told you before the season started, Brent, I would not be surprised if Georgia loses 2 regular season games. You can't play, again, I told you, the hardest thing to do is win on the road. You can't play at Bama, at Texas, at Ole Miss. You host Tennessee. You played Clemson away from home. I thought it was a realistic possibility. I knew they were going to be a great team. I don't think anybody in the country is running the table with that schedule. Number 3, Ohio State. Here's why I say no to Ohio State. Ohio State's toughest 3 games this year. Don't get me, by the way, Ohio State's not playing anybody good anymore. Remember, it's a new conference, so
yes,
it's going to be more competitive every year. And Ohio State plays at Oregon. Their best opponent is at Oregon. Like that, away from home, I think that's difficult. But I'll do you one better. The next week they play at Penn State. And then I'll do you one better. The next week they host Nebraska. The next week they host Nebraska. So I think their 3 toughest games of the season are back-to-back-to-back. I don't see them going through that undefeated. So I can't put Ohio State on that list.
And don't forget, by the way, sneaky now, Indiana starting to roll a little bit. Very adult team. Might be a little something in the end. But anyway.
It might be. And another challenge. And again, another chance to sleepwalk into a game that you get, you know, all of a sudden you look up and it's – and Indiana's done that too
that's
before.
Theirs.
But if you believe what Charles Huff of Marshall said – you would say Ohio State's going to run the table. Did you see what he said, by the way?
Best team ever that he's seen on film?
This guy,
he coached at Alabama,
by the way. Yes. He's been at Bama the last couple years, and he said he was offering basically biscuits. What was the name of the company?
That Tudor's Biscuits. I can speak to that. That is in my hometown. That is in my hometown in West Virginia. That's the greatest biscuit place in the history of
– So you can confirm place. That's the best biscuit place in the world?
Best.
If Why?
You two of those, Why is you're it not the best? For two – because size. Like they're ginormous. If you can eat 2 of those, 1, you're a man. You're it's like eating like a 5-pound burger.
I'm fat. Is that what you just said?
Not you, no. Not, you definitely. But like, get the Mary B. Like, no, that's a real life offer, by the way.
But that's amazing. But Charles Huff said, Tudor's Biscuits. That's their NIL deal. Which, by the way, you talk about smart. Giving more pub to Tudor's Biscuits so they can then feed your kids. Freaking brilliant. I love you, Charles Huff. Now, best team I've ever seen on film, ever. Let's pump the brakes. I think Ohio State's a really great team. I'm not ready to say they're going to go undefeated. I'm not going to go through the rest of this list, Brent, because I'm getting exhausted. I'm going to go to the team that's got the best chance to do this. Who do you think I'm going to say?
I think you're going to go Ole Miss or Miami.
I'm going Miami at 8. Miami doesn't have a ranked opponent on their schedule outside of Louisville. They play at number 19 Louisville, who I just said I think is a pretty good football team. They host Virginia. This, by the way, I'm putting the difficult teams on the schedule. So we went through Ohio State and some of their challenges and Georgia and Texas, and we could do the other teams. Here's the teams I had to write down because I had to find a couple more challenges to put down. They host Virginia Tech. They play at Georgia Tech, and they play at Syracuse. So I'm not saying they're bad football teams, but they're not like Georgia that's going at Texas, at Bama, at Ole Miss, teams that are in the top 10. So those are 3 unranked teams to end the season. If Louisville loses to Tech this week, they'll be unranked. So, man, oh, man.
Syracuse game is the one on me. Like, I was looking at that, too. Like, well, they also got to go to Cal, which you never know. Like, that's the whole other side of the country. But at
it's
Syracuse,
a long trip.
Old school Big East game, Donovan McNabb against the Hurricanes back in the day.
Here's what I like about watching Miami, though. I think Miami's done a great job of high school recruiting. They've gone in the portal and plugged holes at elite positions where you really, really need it, a la running back, a la receiver, a la secondary, defensive line, like to fill. and get more depth. So I think Miami has more depth than they've had. They have more upper echelon talent too. Now, they got to stay healthy just like everybody else. Their coach has to continue to prove it to me because he's had some moments that makes me just, I don't know if I trust him fully and I'm ready to go there. I am ready to commit to that schedule. When I look at every other team in the top 10, I'm ready to say that's the one. Who's the one for you?
Can I go to number 11?
Well, you said
top 10.
Who's the top 10 team to remain undefeated or to be undefeated at the end of the season?
I was going
to
throw a caveat because I think if
USC, we play that back, I think it was the top 10.
Yeah. If USC beats Michigan, though, they're going to be in the top 10 and they're going to go undefeated.
I will give you top 12. Go.
Okay. It's USC. They got Penn State, Nebraska, and Notre Dame at home.
Yep.
All at home. And that would be my pick in terms of
they got to go at Michigan. Like you said,
I don't think any Texas is maybe because they have them at home. That's maybe the one SEC team I think that can go through the regular season. But I just think it's too tough to they're gonna trip up somewhere.
Yeah. And I think that's a good one. I have them losing into Michigan this week. So obviously that would make it very, very difficult. I'll do the next person, by the way, the next team that I would pick, by the way, to put in this equation, I would go to number 12. And that's going to sound really crazy. But look at Utah, baby. Look at the Utes. If they go to Stillwater this weekend and they beat Oklahoma State, the only other ranked team on their schedule the rest of the way, they host, and it's Iowa State. They got the Holy War, which is a big deal, by the way. If you haven't been to it, it's freaking fantastic. It's awesome. But they even host BYU in the Holy War. So when you look at Utah – everybody who's cheering across the country for teams like not to win, like when you see teams, when you're in a certain conference and you're not wanting guys to step up in front of your teams, you better start cheering against some of these teams. Like right now, like they get multiple losses. And I think Utah, if I wasn't picking Miami, I'm not picking USC. The next team I would pick to be undefeated is Utah because of their schedule. I mean, it's fantastic. It sets up great. If their quarterback's healthy and he doesn't get pushed in the sidelines into another Gatorade bottle. I mean, my goodness, hit the side and lacerated his hands. But
that would be interesting for college football, by the way, when you think about that your pick, by the way, Miami, my pick, USC, those are some pretty primetime programs that are, you know, the blue buds of college football that might end up being up there at the top towards the end of the regular season. Now, conference championship games, that adds another element, adds another tough game, but
yep,
you're undefeated in the regular season. You're in the playoff, obviously. And you're
other teams. Hey, I'll look at and I'll give you a chance that I think have the next best chances. I think Oregon sets up pretty great. Now they've started off slow, and I've lost a little. I mean, I told you this summer I was buying all the Oregon stock I could buy. Like it was like Apple. I got it stacked up in the portfolio. Like it's on the app. I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like I've thought a couple times, like. Should I sell real quick? Like, last week, I think they bounced back. I liked them, but look at Oregon's schedule. They host number 3 Ohio State. They're at Michigan, who could be
in a tailspin at that point. By the way, also too,
they absolutely could be. But bro, that's it. Like when I look at the Big Ten, no Penn State, no Nebraska, no USC. So that's the number 9 team in the country in Penn State. That's the number 11 team in the country in USC, or number 10 team in Penn State, and then a top 22 team in Nebraska. They avoid 3 of the ranked teams in the Big Ten. Yeah. So, again, sets up good. And here's the thing. How about Penn State, by the way? Penn State's got a chance. Penn State's going to be in this playoff, I think. Like, when I look at their schedule, and listen, every year Penn State was the team that was, like, knocking on the door anyways, and, man, they were at 5. They're at 6. I think they would have been in every 12-team playoff we've had, by the way, up until this point. Look at Penn State at USC, number 11. They host Ohio State, number 3. They avoid Michigan. They avoid Nebraska. They avoid Oregon. Like, those are teams that could beat you. They have a lot of teams on the schedule that can't beat them. Like, that's a good thing that you don't have to bring your A game. When you have to bring your A game every week, you're going to slip up. Like, these are 18 to 22-year-old kids. Other ones that stuck out, Ole Miss. And when you look at this, man, Ole Miss, number 5 right now. I had to write down this, Brent. I wrote down at South Carolina, tough place to play.
Yeah,
it's not easy. You see their pressure
on the road in the SEC.
On the road in the SEC, their pressure package's ability to get to the quarterback, I think, could be interesting. But the fact that I wrote that down kind of shows you about their schedule the rest of the way. They play at LSU, obviously one of the toughest places to play is in the world. LSU is not, they don't look like a complete team yet, clicking on all cylinders. They host Oklahoma, number 15. And then if they didn't host Georgia, if Georgia hadn't beat them these last couple years and pretty soundly, can they have an answer to match their physicality? But you look at that schedule, it's pretty manageable. And I think we're talking about Ole Miss, you know, being in the playoffs. Like, I think we're talking about that.
Oh, definitely. And that's them and Texas are the two that, but it comes down to, do they beat Georgia in terms of going undefeated in the regular season? Now, the one for me that's very interesting is Alabama, because if you look at who Alabama has, Georgia next week, at Tennessee, Mizzou at home, at LSU, at Oklahoma, Iron Bowl at Auburn. I think the likelihood that they end up with three losses is greater than the likelihood that they go undefeated with that remaining schedule.
Three losses?
It's probably here. A little bit of math for you. If you're giving me chances, which one has the greater chance? I think there's a greater chance to end up with three losses than they do going undefeated.
Dang. All right. That's pretty good. That's pretty strong. I don't see that. But at Tennessee, we saw what that was a couple years ago, and that place is rocking. And you know, Knoxville is they're all in, and they should be all in because they got a great squad. And when Heupel's talking in a press conference about Oklahoma's going to probably respect me, and he's dropping quips like that, you know, he loves his football team. I love that he's got some confidence. All right. By the way, Tennessee, this was an interesting part about Tennessee's schedule to me. Yes, Tennessee's at Oklahoma this weekend. They host Bama, like we talked about. Again, a tough place to play. At UGA, a miserable place to play late in the season. But here's the thing I'll say about the rest of Tennessee's schedule. I'm going to give you the names, Brent. They ain't losing another one, regardless. Yeah. So I'm giving you this. Yeah. Florida, Mississippi State, Kentucky, UTEP, Vandy, and Arkansas. Like, Tennessee could play.
They win this weekend. They're 11-1 at worst.
Yeah, they could play their C game versus their schedule minus their top three teams and still win every single game. So, I mean, Tennessee fans, get jacked up, get excited, because you got a lot to be excited for, that defensive line with the QB play. And so I think they're looking good too, bro.
You beat Oklahoma and you lose to both Alabama and Georgia, you're still 10-2 and you're in.
Yep. And here's another interesting one. How about Missouri? At A&M, which is a tough place to play, host Bama, and then play.
Is it at, I think it's at Bama.
Actually, no, you're right. It's at Bama.
I think it's at Bama.
Yeah, at Bama, at A&M. I think I might have just
reversed Oklahoma. Those. Yeah, versus Oklahoma,
and then Oklahoma. So, my goodness, Missouri. That ain't a lot of work to take care. If they lose to Bama, so be it. You're fine. You're still in the college football playoff if you beat Oklahoma and A&M. So, and I think Missouri, once they clean up some of the penalties and the laziness that they've had, some of the sloppy penalties, and get that offense cooking a little bit more with Noel running the football, with the weapons, with the defense, I think they're going to be good. That's a team that might, because of their schedule, be right there in the mix. And people go, wait a minute, I don't know how good they are, but they're really talented. I like some of the things I see, but they're winning 10 games.
So let's finish up with that then. You got six SEC teams in the top seven. All six in the playoff? Half of the initial field making it being the SEC?
I just don't think you can do it. I don't think it happens. Now, listen, with Clemson falling off a cliff early in the year, now they're going to fight. They're fighting back in. Do they get back in? I think here's the thing we got to look at, Brent. Like, the other conferences are guaranteed to get three. And then the outside Power Five is guaranteed to get one. So that's four spots. The Big Ten is not going to have one team. So I'm going to give the Big Ten at least two. You got six spots left. I mean, I don't think it'll happen.
Out of that six is not making it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be about their football team. I don't think the committee will have the stones, the onions to do it. I just don't think we've seen the committee in the past, and this is going to change with 12 teams, but the committee's not worried about getting the best team. They're worried about who they can justify the best and get the least amount of complaints and headaches for. So I think at most you get five, but I still think you're going to flirt with four or five in the end. What do you think?
Likely four.
Yeah. That's a safe play. But that is fun, man. That's a fun exercise if you look at the top teams in college football and the easiest roads.
What the Big Ten absorbing the Pac-12 and taking those teams did is it created all these fun matchups during the regular season that you otherwise really wouldn't have seen in Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. Like, those are – look at that. That makes those things, both of those, just such a gauntlet.
Yeah. And listen, the schedules every year, man, like, you don't really know. So sometimes you feel like you got a great schedule and some teams come out of nowhere and all of a sudden have great years. So I don't blame scheduling all the time. I think sometimes it'll set up good. Sometimes it won't set up good. It's only your job to take care of it. And there's a lot of teams that, like Missouri this year, like Miss this year, well, that Georgia. Are good. Yeah.
So think about Georgia's schedule last year where they had some injuries, and then it's Florida, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Mizzou, Georgia Tech, all right in a row, five straight weeks, versus this year where, yes, they have the tough opponents, but it's bye before Bama. And then you got, you know, Mississippi State mixed in there before you go play Texas. And then it's a bye. And then you got
Florida. Did you just say Mississippi State was a bye? I think
plus
so.
Plus a bye, maybe. I mean, kind of.
I think you said Mississippi State was a bye. I'm pretty sure.
I guess I did. Sorry.
I think you kind of said that out loud. But now, nah, I mean, either way, like, we'll find out another domino this week. There'll be more discussions to have. If you like listening, hit the subscribe button. If you don't, it's all good. No pressure. Kick rocks. No, I'm just kidding. But we'll be back here next week recapping everything college football, because that's what we do and we love it.